Alex smiled and bowed his head to Sylvia as she entered the dungeon lobby area. "I'm glad you returned, Sylvia," Alex said. It was still early morning, just after breakfast. Holly and Anna had set out immediately, Rudolph becoming their personal guard captain.
"Of course," Sylvia said with a grimace. Reaching into the bag at her side, she sighed, pulled out a large packet of papers and handed it over to him. "Per our agreement, one of my people foolishly brought this to me practically as I arrived. I do hope your mercy is generous for one such as myself."
Taking the paperwork in hand, Alex looked at the top page, then snorted. It was all black book type stuff, as it were. He guessed. When the top page was a list of payouts to whom and why, he could only imagine the entire thing was that way. And since she'd acted the way she had, these were probably all illegal payouts.
"I'm sure we can come to an agreement, Sylvia.
Come, let's take this to your room," Alex said, gesturing to the dungeon door.
Could we..." Sylvia paused, looking around at the guards around her.
"She wants to make a deal already, huh?" he thought. "Stick to the power play. I'll be happy to sit, catch up, and talk about where we go from here.
Let's return to your room now. Have you eaten?"
Sylvia shook her head, her face pinched, her mouth a frown.
"Douglas, bring breakfast for the lady."
"Come, come, let's be on our way," Alex said, moving to the door and opening it for her. Sylvia walked in with her chin up, her face clearing quickly. Regardless of anything else, she was still the peer of the peerage, and seemed to believe her station was unassailable, even if guilty of a crime. They entered her cell, went to her table, and both sat down. Setting the packet down on the table to one side, Alex laid his hand on it.
"I take it this will be more than enough to find you guilty beyond a doubt?" Alex asked.
Sylvia sighed and looked up to the ceiling, as if for guidance.
"And then some. I had the servant flogged to death, and the body dumped, for all the good it did me," she said, shaking her head. "To be perfectly honest, there's more than enough in there to have me stripped of my lands, wealth, and what little title my family holds."
"Ah, and if you had to guess, how long would it take me to sort through this and track it all down?"
Alex didn't like the idea of doing that. He could play the game and go through with it, but this seemed like a whole lot of ferreting out people and secrets.
"Years, if not longer," Sylvia admitted. "That's enough to get you started, though. And then it just come down to how long it took you to unravel it."
"And due to the oath
I swore, I cannot stop any of it. You really pinned me with that one, Alex. I had no idea it would be as bad as it is."
Nodding his head, Alex could only agree. He personally never would have sworn it. It would have been too hard to not get involved. "I think this is a much longer conversation than I want to have at this time. Let's assume for the time being that you'll be my guest for a long while," Alex said.
A solid knock on the door got his attention. Turning to Sylvia, he smiled and held out a hand. She smiled sadly and shook her head. "Enter," she called out, turning toward the door. A guard with a breakfast tray slipped inside. Carla came in right behind him. Smiling at his personal guard, he wondered how long she'd slept in her private room. He'd only tried marginally to wake her, then had simply gone about his day instead.
"Sir, I have your morning letters. They arrived by courier."
Setting down the tray in front of Sylvia, turning to Alex, the guard then held out several sealed letters. "Thank you," Alex and Sylvia said at the same time. Carla moved to the corner of the cell, her right hand resting on a short sword at her hip. "Sylvia, this is two. Two, this is Sylvia. Two is my personal guardian. Sylvia is our guest for the interminable future," Alex said by way of introduction. He flipped through the sealed letters one by one. Carla grunted at that, staring at the woman. Sylvia seemed perturbed when Carla didn't leave with the guard.
"My lord, is she..." Sylvia asked, indicating Carla.
"She's literally my personal guardian. I trust her with my life, and have done so already," Alex said, setting the letters down in his lap. "The King and Duke I haven't met. Great." "Now, before I leave you to your meal, it seems as if you wanted to discuss something," Alex said, smiling at her. Sylvia paused to look at Carla.
"Discussing anything in front of her won't be a betrayal. Suffice it to say, two is sworn to my service," Alex assured her.
Sylvia nodded at that, her fingernails now brightly polished and well manicured again, tapping at her tray.
"I realize this won't be over any time soon. I was hoping to get better accommodations. Perhaps the ability to meet with others and even enjoy the sun on occasion?"
"That could certainly be worked out.
Let's start with the first piece then. A better room. I do have a number of personal rooms set aside in the keep proper for guests such as yourself. Would that be acceptable?" Sylvia pursed her lips, then nodded, her eyes moving to his own.
"Yes."
"Great. Now, seeing others. Are you talking about household members, servants, or just friends?"
"All of the above. I worry for my house while I'm here. Until you take it from me, it's still mine," Sylvia said.
"A fair point. And lastly, the sun? I take it you mean go on walks inside the keep?
Perhaps a trip down to the city every now and then?"
Sylvia nodded her head again, her eyes looking wary, her mouth flat, her hands now clenched in her lap.
"She realizes those are all rather high-cost items," he thought to himself. "How do we go about this?"
"Certainly. The room first, since that's the easiest. I can provide the room. It comes with a tub, a lovely bed, and the normal things you'd probably find in my own room. With that said, the price for such a thing would not be cheap," Alex said, contemplating the situation. Reaching over, he tapped the mass of papers she'd brought him.
I want you to tell me everything in this, or that you know of, that has the potential to harm me or my county. By harm, I mean to cause financial loss of a measurable quality, death or dismemberment, or threat to my rule, even if it exposes yourself or shows your guilt in part to the matter. In return, I offer you the room and exoneration for anything you point out. Sylvia rocked back in her seat at that, her mouth opening, then closing.
In other words, you'd have me become an informant?
Not in so many words, but yes. Although I'll add another piece to my side of the deal if it helps. I'll never betray you as the provider of the information, in any way, shape, or form. I'll devise a way to come across the information naturally, without your involvement.
Sylvia looked to the rough wooden bench they were sitting on. She scratched at it with a nail.
What would a measurable quality be? That's rather vague.
More than 1,000 gold pieces, I think, is a fair line to draw.
Sighing, Sylvia stood up and clapped her hands together. Then I agree, and do so swear. Please, please take me to my new room. I don't want to spend another minute in here.
Of course, Sylvia, Alex said with a smile, and stood up as well. Of course, I accept your oath and swear in return. We'll discuss your desire to go on walks another day. For receiving guests, how about we simply keep to our previous agreement? You have to actively work to better me, my image, and my county, when you can, as you are able. Sylvia gave him a strange smile at that, then sighed and nodded her head.
I can agree to that, and swear to my oath.
Grand, let's go see your room.
Closing the door behind him, Alex looked down the hall. Douglas's people had taken up guard duties in this wing of the keep after Sylvia had been moved up an hour ago. It was now as secure as the dungeon. Sylvia had settled in quickly after Alex had shown her the room. She'd seemed quite pleased with it.
"Not going to try to bed her?" Carla asked.
Standing at his side. Not yet.
Down the road?
Yes. I don't think she'll be going anywhere anytime soon. I get the impression she's practically a crime lord in her circle. We'll pump her for everything she's worth first.
Then you'll pump her,
Carla said, grinning.
I suppose so. Why do you delight in that, by the way? You seem to take pleasure in me using other women the way I use you, Alex said, then turned to walk down the hall to his own room.
Because they're nobles. Watching them squirm and then get put into your bed warms my heart. Scum, the lot of them.
Alex quirked a brow at that, glancing over at her.
I take it my peers aren't your favorite.
I've killed a number. They scream and offer all sorts of promises. We let one go once on a promise, she said, and then growled.
Worst thing we ever did.
The gods don't give us commoners the time of day. Oaths don't exist for us unless a noble gets it moving.
Indeed. Curious about that. Regardless, don't fret.
It brought you here into my service, Alex said, reaching over to lay a hand on Carla's back. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Did you sleep well, by the way?
Yes, master. I did. The bed was very comfortable. I'm sorry about sleeping in, she said, her face turning red, either with anger or shame. He couldn't tell.
Don't worry about it. You did extremely well for me in the capital. Some allowances can be made, he said, patting her on the back but not removing his hand. Slowly he drew her closer to his side as they walked, his hand running along her and guiding her nearer.
Stop it, she grumbled, but didn't pull away.
Stop what?
That, your hand.
You stop it. You could move away. You're not under oath to let me touch you right now.
Ass.
You want me to touch your ass?
No, gods, you're awful, Carla said, then swatted his hand away.
Smiling to himself, Alex pulled the letter from the king out of his doublet. Tapping it against his palm, he walked into his personal room as the guard held the door open for him. Looking around as he entered, he found it empty. Go check and see what my wives are in, if my wives are in, too, Alex asked, moving over to his desk.
They're not,
she said, not bothering to look. I saw Rudolph and the company in the center of the keep. I think Mistress Anna is sorting through her loot. Alex rolled his eyes, not caring. After slitting the envelope open, he pulled out the letter and read it over quickly.
Shit, he thought.
Apparently, Alex said, setting the letter down, the king has decided that my family no longer holds a ducal title. As a count, I should not report directly to him. My vassalage has been transferred to Duke Tenulf. On a hunch, he pulled out the other letters he'd gotten. He'd already forgotten the name of the one on one of them, but he'd now bet it was Duke Tenulf. He set Holly's father's letter to one side and looked to the other.
Duke Tenulf, he thought to himself as he read it,
pushing the letter opener through the top. He opened it and pulled out the paper inside. Sighing, he dropped that atop the letter from the king. Duke Tenulf is coming to visit in the next day. Give or take a few hours, sooner if he's coming from the capital. To receive my vassalage in person, no less, Alex lamented. Then chuckled to himself. Care to bet he has an unwed daughter about my age? Carla wrinkled her nose and then shook her head.
The games ye nobles play are stupid, she said.
I couldn't agree more, but it is what it is. I suppose it could be worse. The Duke can't rescind my count status, nor can he take it from me. I'll owe him the same taxes that were due to the king. Not much will change except who tells me what to do, I suppose. Carla shrugged her shoulders at that. Well, so be it. Walter will probably be here in 30 minutes or so. I can tell him all about it then. In the meantime, I believe I offered to teach you your letters. Would you care to begin now? Alex asked, looking at Carla.
Really?
Yeah, we have some time. We can at least start with the basics.
Then, yeah, let's do it.
Chapter 16. They'd only had about 20 minutes of warning for the Duke's arrival. Alex had gotten nervous about the possibility of missing the man's arrival and had posted a number of sentries to watch the road from the capital. All it did was reinforce my distaste for the nobility and validate my paranoia, he thought. Sighing to himself, Alex did his best to smile as the Duke's party came rolling in along the King's Road from the capital. He wasn't sure if the Duke was a fool, but by coming in this way, he was more or less showing Alex that, yes, he'd been involved in the King's plot. Especially if he happened to have an unwed daughter or niece with him. Two was on Alex's left, Anna and Holly on his right. Behind him stood Walter, Rudolph, and Maxwell. Otherwise, the courtyard of the keep was empty. The Dussel coach rode in, his guards peeling out in every direction just inside the gate, but not crossing the courtyard proper. A coachman, hanging off the side, dropped to the dirt and opened the door, bowing low. "Duke Tunnelf of the Tunnel family," said the man. "Here we go," thought Alex. Bowing low, Alex did his best to keep the same smile on his face. Regardless of anything else, he was greeting his new liege lord. The better the man liked him, the easier Alex's life would be.
"Ah, Count Britt," said a voice, heavy with age. Standing up, Alex laid eyes on the Duke for the first time. He was indeed elderly. He looked rather decrepit, and seemed to be made of skin and bones. "It's good to see you. I take it the King's letter reached you in good health?" asked the Duke, bowing his head fractionally to the Count. "Yes, Duke, it did indeed. His Majesty made it clear I was to become your vassal," Alex said, "directly, and may I in..." "Good, good. I'll receive your oath of fealty, and then be on my way. Much to do, very little time," said the Duke, interrupting Alex. Somehow, Alex managed to keep his smile. Going down to one knee, Alex placed his right hand on his collar pin. "I wish I'd studied the oath a bit more, so I'd..." "I promise my oath, on my oath, that I will, in the future, be faithful to my liege lord, never cause him harm, and will observe my homage to him completely against all persons, in good faith and without deceit." Alex was quick enough that he managed to recite the whole thing as it sounded off in his head. The Duke nodded his head.
"I accept. And here are your orders."
The Duke reached into his doublet, pulled out a thick envelope, and handed it over to Alex.
"Good day," said the Duke, turning to clamber back into his coach.
Getting to his feet, Alex looked at the envelope, then back at the carriage. Peeking out from the inside of it was what he'd feared and expected, a young woman around his age. Before he could get an idea of what she truly looked like, the door to the carriage shut, and the procession
was off and rolling again.
"What a twat!"
Carla said, muttered, shaking her head.
"I think he has a penis," Anna said seriously.
Alex guffawed at that and patted Anna's hand where it rested on his forearm.
"I think he's both a twat and a penis." "I imagine his treatment of me was how he shows his displeasure. Pity for him, his rebuke will only make me angry and does nothing to my noble pride."
Opening the envelope, Alex pulled out the thick wad of papers. The one on top seemed the most ominous, its flowing script clearly written for effect. Not the dictate and copied words of a scribe. Reading it quickly, he held his breath, then read it again a second time. Unable to help it, he let out an explosive breath, then handed the whole thing over to Walter. "It would appear the Duke is going to war with a neighbor. My liege levies have been called up. I imagine the rest of the paperwork is the liege lord contract the king handed to him. Well, this is a mess. I only return, and now in two weeks I'm being called to go to war," Alex muttered.
"That's okay, husband. I think 2 weeks is enough time to put children in Holly and I. Daddy always said it only takes once. And I should never dally with a man who's wasn't my husband," Anna said with a smart nod of her head.
"Thank you, Master Yulies. Remind me to send you a special birthday present," he thought. Walter and Maxwell were hunched over a desk, going through the contract word for word. "I imagine it's fairly solid, since it came from the king," Alex said. "How about we give up on looking for a way out and simply deal with what we're going to have to do? We're wasting time at this point."
"But, my lord..."
"Leave it, Walter. What's our responsibility levy-wise?"
200 men-at-arms, 300 conscripts, and 100 archers," Walter said, as if reading off a shopping list.
"That would strip almost all our defenses and leave us with precious little to hold our county," Maxwell added.
"Then we don't do that. The men-at-arms and archers would be the hardest, I imagine. The conscripts are mostly peasants, paid in coin. Almost entirely day laborers, no?" Alex asked.
"That's accurate, my lord. But we simply don't have the resources to recruit and train that many."
"No, no. I'm not thinking of trying to backfill those positions we vacate.
I'm thinking of simply hiring a vendor," Alex said, leaning his head back against his chair.
"A vendor?" Maxwell asked.
"A vendor. A mercenary company who has the force number on hand, which we could simply hire. If we're being honest with ourselves, the cost of training up and outfitting replacements for those who die in this war might very well be the same cost as hiring mercenaries."
"Or so I'd love to think, Maxwell. Does that sound about right?"
"Well, it would depend on the company, but yes, there are a number of outfits that would fit price-wise and numerically. Truth be told, you might be right about the cost to outfit and train replacements, too. Morale would also be heavily impacted," Maxwell said, working the thought through his own process.
"Let's plan for that then, Maxwell. Send your fastest riders to the company we want to hire. I concede your best estimation for the situation on whom, and let's get this taken care of. Walter, outlay the amount of coin it would take to run a year's campaign in advance, and let's see where we line up financially," Alex said, his thumbs tapping each other in his lap. "Beyond that,
Let's see if we can offset the cost of our company of the company by offering them permanent employment in the guard afterward. I imagine at the end of this, there might not be as much left of them." Maxwell and Walter didn't say anything, causing Alex to drop his chin and look at the two of them. They were both staring at him. "Something the matter?" Alex asked.
"No, sire. It's just..."
"That's rather well thought out," Maxwell said.
"Oh, thank you. If there's nothing else, I'm going to go visit my guests," Alex said, and stood up.
"Seems like I don't get any time to work on my projects," grumbled Alex as he headed down towards his dungeon. People passed him as he went, nodding to him or moving out of his way. He'd love to believe it was indifferent, but he imagined it was due to the fully armed and armored Carla padding after him.
"Probably should hire another guard," Carla said as they moved.
"You're right, of course. I had wanted to use that as a means to get you into my bed more often."
"That's a pity," Alex said, shaking his head.
"I'm sure you'll figure out something else to use against me," Carla said. "Eventually."
"Eventually. My poor cold bed," Alex said dramatically. "Anyways, let's see if we can get two recruits to come with us on this adventure. I can keep working on my projects that way." Carla made a rude noise and prodded him in the back with what felt like the top of her mace.
"Take one of your wives with us. That'll keep your bed warm."
"I don't think that'd be a good idea. I get the impression they're not cut out for that, for such conditions."
"I'll leave them here to manage things. Between the two of them and Walter, it should be fine."
Alex passed by the dungeon guard checkpoint, went right in. Passing through Sylvia's now empty cell, he didn't stop. He entered One's cell and looked around. One practically launched off her bed and came up to the bars, smiling at him.
"Master, I was worried. You didn't return when you said you would," Riley said, her hands curling around the bars.
"Sorry about that. Things came up and I lost myself."
"I thought maybe your wife didn't like you coming down here," Riley said, watching him.
"Huh? Oh no. I'm afraid I'll be going to war under the banner of the Duke of Tanulf. I wanted to run a deal by you and see what you'd do," Alex said, leaning up against the bars next to her.
"I'm listening, Master,"
Riley said, her face moving to rest between the bars, staring up at him. "I want to let you have the chance to leave this cell for a time, to serve as my personal maidservant. You'll have to attend to all my needs that a maidservant would, and do so efficiently, without command. You'd have to swear to attempt no escape, and remain with me regardless of what happens," Alex said, tapping one of the cold bars with a finger.
"This is odd, Master. This seems more like you're offering me the price before I get the reward," Riley said.
"I suppose it isn't that. What would you want in exchange for doing what I described?"
"Would I have to sleep with you?"
"Not initially, but I might make an offer later that you can always say no to," Alex admitted. "But you'd have to sleep either in my bed or directly beside it. In a war camp, it wouldn't be wise to wander around alone as a woman." Riley looked down to the ground, apparently deep in thought.
"Could you pay me and send the money to my mother and younger sister?" Riley asked finally, her eyes coming back up to his.
"I certainly could. I'll make sure you receive pay equal to that of a maidservant in that situation, what they would earn. Riley nodded her head.
Then I agree, and swear it on our oath.
Grand. If you'll remember, I had planned to give you maid training. That'll be accelerated now. I imagine you'll be living and breathing your duties for the next 2 weeks until we leave, Alex said. Reaching into his pocket, he fished out the key for her cell and unlocked it. Come on, then. Come on, then, one. Time for you to get squared away.
As Riley attempted to leave the cell, Carla took a step forward and laid a hand on her shoulder.
I am two.
You will listen to every instruction I give you regarding master security. Do you understand, one?
Riley looked up into Carla's face, then nodded her head.
I do.
Alex waved a hand at them, then indicated the door.
Go ahead and take her to the maids, too. Get her cleaned up, fed, and working. She has a lot to learn and little time to do it in. I'll be with our last guest, Alex said, throwing a thumb over his shoulder towards Valeria.
Carla frowned at him, but didn't say anything. Instead, she grabbed Riley by the elbow and marched her quickly out of the dungeon. Carla looked like she intended to take care of this chore as quickly as possible. Alex turned and entered Valeria's cell, moving directly to the bars and peering in. Valeria wasn't anywhere to be seen.
Valeria? Alex asked.
A moment,
came a subdued voice from behind the privacy screen. Alex shrugged his shoulders and waited. A minute later, Valeria crawled around the edge of the screen and lay down on the stones. She was red-faced and panting. Her hair looked like a straw matted mess. Her tunic was beyond rumpled.
Are you well? Alex asked, concerned.
Sick. I had waxed poison pills in my stomach that I was holding on to, just in case I needed to die. After your oath to cause no harm to myself, I had to get rid of them, Valeria said, explaining. One was apparently leaking.
You were eating your own feces over and over? The waxed pills?
Yes.
Huh. You're rather dedicated to your previous employer.
An oath.
Ah, that does explain a few things. It also attests to your upbringing, doesn't it? You were once part of the nobility?
Yes.
Though I was wondering on that.
Alex said with the key still in his hand. He unlocked her cell and went inside. Valeria peered up at him from the ground, her eyes fearful.
Be still. I'll do no harm to you.
Alex got the pillow from her bed, dragged a chair over and sat down next to her.
Up with your head now, Alex said, then wedged the pillow under it when she did so. Now, let's start with the easy part of this. What do you need to help pass the poison?
Water. Lots. Otherwise, nothing. It'll pass. It's not a long-lasting thing, and I didn't get much of it,
Valeria said. Good to know. I'll have a barrel of water brought in. Next. Why did your employer throw you away?
Valeria glared up at him from the pillow. No such thing happened.
It did. Forgive me, but you're not built for hand-to-hand fighting. You're clearly either eye candy, a diversion, or an instructor. What were you doing before this last job? No details or specifics needed, or even to betray your employer, just general job title.
Teacher.
And had you ever done any field work before that?
No.
So either you were picked specifically for me, or you were no longer needed and tossed aside. Let's work through this a bit further. You had a dagger in you. I assumed that was how you were going to kill me?
Yes.
How were you going to escape? Valeria didn't respond. Were you ordered to use the blade as the means?
Yes.
And yet you were a teacher who knew how to carry poison in such a fashion. Seduce a target and distract to the point of being able to operate effectively and with the mental conditioning to eat your own shit. Alex leaned forward in his chair, smoothed her hair back from her brow, then lightly began to massage her scalp. You were ordered to put a blade in me without the possibility of escape when you had other opportunities to work with. And no one attempted to retrieve you after I made it obvious I'd caught someone. No. You were disposed of, Valeria. Valeria closed her eyes. She said nothing. Well, I find myself in need of someone like you. I'll not ask you to betray your previous lord in any way. But I'd like you to consider working for me directly instead. Valeria snorted at that. You trust someone like me? No. I'd bind and chain you down in oaths, like most of my peers. Though we'd have clear paid and received for each deal. Just as we've done so far. Would you be willing to discuss terms with me? You can say no.
What happens if I actually do say no?
Nothing. I leave you here, go on campaign, and you remain in this cell until I return. Valeria opened her eyes and met his gaze.
Let's talk terms then.
I want you to go on campaign with me. Operate as a teacher. Help me protect myself and teach me everything you know, but from a defensive point of view. Do this, and I'll expunge your death sentence, commuting it to a life sentence.
Need more?
Alex thought for a bit, then shrugged. Part of teaching me would, of course, be an oath to make no attempt to escape. All the previous oaths would remain active, so you couldn't betray me or my secrets, or attempt to harm me. With that in mind, I could change your cell to a private room in the keep. A room much like my own, to be clear. Valeria's brow scrunched up at that.
Need pay,
she said finally. Everyone seems to want pay lately, Alex grinned. And what are you worth?
5 gold every 3 months.
So 20 gold a year. I could agree to that, but I want more from you in exchange. Valeria's knees came up, her hands pressing to her stomach.
What?
You'll wear what I want you to wear. You'll let me be in charge of your hair and how it's styled. You'll take the name of 3 and respond to it. I'll be sure to add a lovely collar with your name on it. Oh, and call me Master, of course. Valeria chewed on her lower lip. I can promise to hurt you a bit whenever you want as extra. A spanking here or there. A hair pulling now and again. Whatever you fancy, Alex said, grinning at her. Maybe bring the trunk along if you'd like to sleep in it at night in my tent. At the foot of my bed, maybe. Shackle your wrists and ankles. Gag you and put you in my trunk and keep you handy as a special treat for when I want to look at you. Though you'd have to swear to celibacy, to no contact of a sexual or romantic nature with anyone at any level unless I give permission. Time to test what you really want, my little pain jockey, he thought. I've only teased a touch up to this point. Time to see if you can admit those dark desires of yours. Valeria blinked at what he'd said. Her gaze panicked, then curious, then completely neutral in a schooled response. Is that a no? Alex asked, scratching at her hairline delicately with a fingernail. I'll do it. I accept the terms given, and swear to the oath between us. Grand. You'll have 2 weeks to get your kit shifted out. And then we'll be off. For now, how about I put you back in your bed, three, and get you some rest. And you get some rest, rather. Valeria closed her eyes and nodded her head once. Yes, master, please. Chapter 17. Maxwell led a middle-aged man into Alex's study. He was broad-shouldered, rather tall, every bit the military man, from his haircut down to his polished but worn boots. His clothes were cut in a uniform-like fashion, though didn't sport any colors. My lord, this is David Harrell, commander of the mercenary company Bulwark, Maxwell said. David bowed from his waist. Alex stood up and nodded his head to David. A pleasure, Master Harrell. I appreciate your coming. I take it you found the contract to your liking as it was presented, Alex said, asked, skipping straight to business. Yes, my lord, I did. The prospect of settling down in Brit with what you suggested is very tempting, David said, standing up from his bow. I see. Being an operation where it's very likely you'll take significant losses, I won't hide that fact from you, but I will make sure you're paid well for it, Alex said simply. Now, Maxwell, selected you personally, and I trust him. So, tell me about your company. I command 400 men-at-arms, 200 archers, and 100 heavy infantry.
were broken down into military groupings, and we have an 80% veteran status. By and large, we are outfitted to a slightly better degree than conventional military, David said. I personally specialize in battle tactics and the line fighting. You say nothing of strategy, thought Alex, or your part on your part, or a cultural prop. Strategic priorities and battle plans are typically formed by the commanders of armies or levies. One must be of the nobility to lead an army, said the voice in his head. Ah, he thought. In other words, me. Splendid. That means this is before commoners and could become command officers. We can do this. We used to be pretty good at strategy games. Then again, that was 40 or 50 years ago, he thought. I understand. Go ahead and deploy to the field and get some rest. We'll be heading out in 2 days. Duke Tanulf has made his intention that all his levy commanders are to meet with him on the border. Then we'll march across into Duke Gaelus territory. I wondered, Duke Tanulf has been moving his people around quite a bit. Was going to be Gaelus or Malin, David said. Alex shrugged his shoulders at that. He didn't really know, nor did he care. This whole thing was more likely going to spend a number of lives for the sake of what probably amounted to an anthill. A petty insult, perhaps. Someone taking off offense to a passing comment. Anything else? Alex asked the two men. Max and David looked at each other, then to Alex. No, sire, Max said. Great. Get going, then. I need to finish up here. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it in, Alex said, shaking his head at the pile of papers on his desk. No sooner had Maxwell and David left than Walter came scurrying in. My lord, said Walter, I really must say again that I don't agree with this. My place is at your side. It is, though in this case, you're best served remaining here and making sure Anna and Holly keep everything in hand, Alex said, sitting down in his chair at his desk. You'll need to send whoever would take over for you if you were suddenly pass on from this world. Time for them to get some behind-the-wheel experience, as it were. Sir, I really do I know, and I appreciate it. But it's going to be this way. Now, make arrangements for your second-in-command. They'll be traveling with me when I leave. Is there anything else we should discuss or work through? Alex asked, changing the subject. Who is in charge, my lord? Anna or Holly? Asked Walter. Neither. Run anything at a financial level by Anna. I get the impression she absorbed more from her father than he would have liked. Anything peerage goes to Holly. You take care of the rest. I understand. May I ask what else you're planning for the day, my lord? How's my new maidservant coming along? Alex asked, working his way through several documents. My understanding is she's doing very well. She's performing her job duties at a level that would not require any oversight. Though her name is unconventional, yes, it is. But neither is it unique, Alex said. How are 2 and 3? I haven't seen them today. 2, sir, is in the city. I believe she's working to recruit more bodyguards for your service. Huh. Didn't tell her not to, but didn't tell her to hire someone else. Suppose that falls right in the middle area. That just means we can take a greater toll from her when she finds someone she wants me to hire. So be it.
Good. And three?
That is, I saw her only once. She was in the kitchens. I have not seen her since, Walter said. That's fine. Sire, they are all... Is that to say one was...
Yes, she was. They all were, and they'll serve me loyally, as any other retainer would. So you'll give them the respect their position deserves. No more, no less, Alex said. Setting the quill to one side, he looked up and caught Walter's gaze and held it. Anything else?
No, my lord, nothing else, Walter said. Excusing himself, he left the room quickly and closed the door behind himself.
Alex shook his head, looking back to the papers. He still needed to talk to Sylvia and figure out what he was going to do with her while he was away. Again.
He doesn't like us, Valeria said from the far side of the room. Tilting his head back, he looked around to find her. It wasn't until she lifted a hand that he spotted her. She was slouched so low next to his cabinet, dressed in all darker clothes, made of strips and bits of cloth. She had no shape and seemed to blend into the shadow. Even her face and hair were bound up. Of course he doesn't. You all showed up out of nowhere, and he has no idea what your relation is to me, rather. On top of which, you're women. For all he knows, you're all foreign agents who got close to me to make attempts on my life, Alex said, and then grinned at her. Perish the thought, or to think of it, right? Valeria stood up and walked over to him, pulling the fabric down from her face and head. I'm trying to hone my field skills before we leave. I know you said you wanted me to teach you, but I think it might be best if I actively work defensively as well, Valeria said, explaining herself.
Okay. No need to creep around in the shadows. Just play the part of my doxy and stay at my side. Most nobles travel with a few, after all, Alex said, shrugging his shoulders.
I could do that. Certainly wouldn't be hard to pretend, since I'll be in your presence every night.
Any of us, really,
she said.
What, you, one, and two? Yeah, Alex stood up, then patted his desk.
Haven't checked lately, by the way. What's your count right now on getting your ass spanked?
She gave him a slow smile, setting her hands on her hips. I'm not sure anymore. I stopped counting after 100. I figure I might as well run up my tab before we went into the field. I might not be able to get any more soon.
Quirking her brow at that, Alex couldn't help but grin at her. At least she was being honest with herself, he thought. Well, we'll see if we can't take care of that while you're out on campaign.
And did you want to bring your trunk, by the way?
Yes, please, master, Valeria said, nodding her head quickly at that. Her eyes dropped to the floor. Her cheeks turned bright red. And a couple of shackles, too. She mumbled something he couldn't quite make out.
What was that? He asked, unsure what she'd asked for.
And a leather riding crop?
That's it for now. We'll see you again next week.